been a great day, hasn't it? What a wonderful fall day. I don't think. I said this already today to somebody. I don't think. We've had such a beautiful fall day when we've been here. On the past three occasions I've been here for Colorama. What a wonderful day. It's been sunshine all day, nice and warm for the time of year, and I trust you've all enjoyed it. Now, some of us had a wonderful trip out in the country. We went to some stores, but I'm thinking of the country trip, and it was lovely to see the countryside in all its fall colors, and decorated in so many ways. See the beautiful farms that you have around here. What a wonderful farming community it is. Some of the crops are all gone, of course, but it was wonderful to see the farms around us. Reminded me of a story I heard about a farmer. It's always difficult for me to tell stories here because I don't remember which stories I told before, and I hope I don't repeat them. But I don't think I've told this story before because I don't think I heard it before the last time I was here. It was about a farmer, and this farmer was reported to the, I don't know whether you call it the Ministry of Labor here in the States or what you call it, but he was reported to the government for his unfair treatment of his employees, his hired men. And so Ministry of Labor official was sent along to investigate. He came to the farmer and said, I'd like to see your employees. So he was introduced to the employees. The first employee, he said, what are your wages? He said, I'm getting $40 a week. He said, are you satisfied with that? Yes, he said, perfectly satisfied with that. He said, what are your working conditions like? Oh, they're excellent working conditions. Are you pleased with how they treat you here? Yes, very pleased. Have you any complaints whatever? He said, no, not at all, none at all. All right, he said, go on. The next one came into to see him, and he asked him the very same question. And he gave him the very same answers. So he said to the farmer, there's something wrong about this. It's all very strange. These employees seem very satisfied. Are these all your employees? Well, no, said the farmer, there's the half-wit. Oh, the half-wit. What does he make? Well, he makes $1 a week and a package of chewing tobacco. Is that all? Yeah, that's all, he said. Well, I better see him. Can I see him now? The farmer said, you're just looking at him. Well, let's come to our passage tonight. And let's read in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We left Elijah this morning in the court of King Ahab with his message expressing his faith and his faithfulness and his fellowship and his fearlessness in the presence of the king who followed Baal. We'll begin with that verse as a connection to our next part of the story. Now, verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. And we'll look at the rest of this part of the story tomorrow morning in the will of the Lord. Let's bow together and ask the Lord to lead us and guide us. Oh God, our Father, we again thank Thee for the privilege of being here together, for these lovely hymns of praise that we have sung together, and assurance and encouragement. We thank Thee for the fellowship we enjoy. We thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee for the Spirit of God who guides us and leads us into the truth of Thy Word. We need that guidance this evening, and we pray that Thou wilt direct us by Thy Spirit, and grant that every one of us may realize and experience Thy voice speaking to us in the pages of Thy Word, and that we may be quick to obey Thy voice. We ask Thy blessing upon us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The story of Elijah is a story of contrasts. What a contrast there is in the part of the story that we've read tonight. From the court of the king, surrounded by the courtiers, to the brookside, with no companion but his God. From the bustle of the city to the solitude of the country. From the forefront of the battle to the back of beyond. And so it was in each of the steps that Elijah took. There were differences and contrasts in what he was doing. We've just read this evening, and we've pondered this morning and again this evening, the first two recorded steps of Elijah. The Lord is leading him along until he comes to that great step when he mounts Mount Carmel. He's not ready for that yet. We're looking forward to getting him onto Mount Carmel. That's a great story. But he's not ready for that yet. God doesn't take him from his home in Gilead and Tishbe right to Mount Carmel right away. He leads him by a number of steps. And he takes him one step at a time. I guess we know that little chorus, one step more, give me faith for one step more, my Savior, one step more, only one step more. God doesn't tell us all that lies beyond us at one sitting. He gives us each step at a time, and He gives us grace, and He gives us faith for each step at a time. That was the case with Elijah. And he was being prepared with each of these individual steps for that moment when he would mount Carmel, Mount Carmel, with these 450 prophets and Ahab and the people of Israel, and where he would do battle alone, apart from his God, with all these people there. But here is the second step, right to the brook Cherith. There are four things we want to look at. We want to look at, first of all, God's commands. And then, secondly, we're going to look at God's purpose in these commands. And thirdly, we're going to look at God's provision. And then, finally, we're going to consider God's timing. I think we can learn lessons from all of these things as we study this wonderful story together. First of all, let's think of God's commands. As we'll see in the story tomorrow, the widow of Zarephath, so in the story of the brook Cherith, God gave commands to two individuals. First of all, He gave a command to Elijah. And notice how it's expressed in verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, the word of the Lord. That's a very important phrase in the story of Elijah. The word of the Lord. We're going to notice it frequently, and I'm going to point it out to you here this evening, how it occurs in this chapter, and into the next chapter. Look at verse 5. He went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Let's look further down at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. Let's look at verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's look at verse 24. The woman said to Elijah, now this, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. And let's finally look at chapter 18 and verse 1. And it came to pass after many days the word of the Lord came to Elijah. We'll notice when we come to it in chapter 19 that one expression is significantly absent at the beginning of the chapter. We have it later, but at the beginning of the chapter, when Elijah flees after hearing the vow and the threat of Jezebel, we don't read about the word of the Lord telling him. That's an important and critical phrase in the life story of Elijah. My friends, that should be an important phrase in the life story of every one of us. Our decisions, our actions, our movements, our directions should be in accordance with the word of the Lord. Where do we get the word of the Lord? Well, of course, the word of the Lord is here. God speaks by his word. Oh, I know God speaks in other ways in our time. He speaks by circumstances. He speaks by Christian friends and so forth. But basically, God speaks by his word. And no message that God gives to us will run counter to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is what we should seek day by day in all our lives. This applies to us all individually. It applies to all our families, to our partners. It applies to every one of us. When we do something, we should do it in accordance with God's word. He should lead us. We should depend upon the infallible, inerrant word of God. And only as God leads us will we be led and directed and guided aright. This should apply not only to our individual and family lives, this should apply to all our decisions in our church lives. Alas, throughout our country, throughout our nation, throughout our land, throughout Canada as well as North America, and I believe in Britain as well and elsewhere, many of the Lord's people in many assemblies are unfortunately departing from the word of the Lord. It's vitally important that we stick to the truth of Holy Scripture. They tell us that these are for a different culture, some of the principles that we have held dear. My friend, if it's the word of the Lord, and then it's for our culture as well as for their culture. This is the word of God, and it's our business to obey. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. What did Elijah do? Well, let's read in verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. He didn't ask any questions. He didn't make any remonstrance. He didn't complain that was too lonely for him to be. He went and did according to the word of the Lord. When God speaks, it's not for us to say no. It's not for us to reason why. It's for us to obey the word of God, whatever God says and however he speaks it. God's word is the important, the critical thing for us to obey. Well, that was the first person, or the first individual, that God spoke to. But God had a command for somebody else. Actually, it was a lot of other somebody else's. Let's notice in verse 4, the end of the verse, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. God not only commanded Elijah, God commanded the birds of the air. He commanded the ravens. You say, well, that's a strange thing. That God should command the ravens. Is it a strange thing that he who commanded the light to shine, he who commanded the waters to gather together, he who commanded the sea to be still when he was here on earth, should command the ravens? Why, God made the ravens. He made them what they were, what they are. It was possible for God to command the ravens. Did the ravens obey God's command? Well, if we turn to verse 6, we discover the answer to that question. Verse 5 tells us of Elijah's obedience to God's command. Verse 6 tells, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. The ravens obeyed God's command. And we know how that nature obeys God's command. It's only men in all their supposed superior wisdom that disobey and defy the command of God. We should obey the God's command. All nature obeys his command. And that's why we have uniformity and we have peace and tranquility in nations. in nature. There's the first thing, then, God's command. The second thing we want to consider from this story is God's purpose. Why did God command this? Now, very often we may not see God's purpose at the time. Very often we have to obey God's command, and with our questioning human mind we wonder, well, why this? Why did God command this? We may come to a passage of Scripture in which God gives us a command to obey, and we question it. We say, well, why this? Well, even if we don't know the answer to the why, even when we can't reason out why God's commanded, we should command it. But we know for sure that if God gives us a command, He has a purpose in giving us that command. Every command that God makes has a purpose, and we can be sure of that. There are many, many commands that we have read, we read often from the Word of God, and we can discern the purpose of God's command. What do you think were the purposes of God's command in sending Elijah from the court of Ahab, where he could have witnessed to Ahab, right out to the brook Cherith? What do you think the purposes were? I'm going to suggest there were two purposes. God has told Elijah exactly one of these purposes. Let's notice in verse 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith. That was the first purpose. He was away from the eyes of men. He was in a place of solitude and seclusion. He was a place where people wouldn't see him or know he was there. But he was safe in the arms of God there. He wouldn't have been safe outside. We are told in the next chapter that Ahab had sent all over Israel, all over the land of Israel, and he had sent beyond the shores of Israel and beyond the borders of Israel. He had sent to all the countries to find out where Elijah was. And he made them take an oath that he wasn't there. He was looking for Elijah. Don't imagine that Ahab was searching for Elijah just for the joy and pleasure of seeing him. Now, remember, there was a drought going on. And so far as Ahab was concerned, Elijah was the cause of that drought. The next time he saw Elijah, he spoke very unfitting words towards Elijah. He was his enemy. So Elijah wasn't seeking, Ahab wasn't seeking Elijah in order to command him or to compliment him or to praise him in accomplishing what he said he would do. Now, Ahab wasn't looking for him for that purpose. He was looking for him, no doubt, to put him to death. And so God sheltered Elijah. He sheltered Elijah from being found by Ahab and his emissaries. I believe there's a second reason. I believe that by the brook Cherith, God was training Elijah. God was training Elijah. God had some very wonderful purposes for Elijah in his life. He had that very significant purpose of taking him to the very top of Mount Carmel, to that great story that we're going to look at in a day or two's time. And during his time at the brook Cherith, Elijah was preparing for God's service. He was learning God's lessons. He was there to learn to do what God had planned for him to do. And you know, this has happened to God's servants many times. They may have asked, well, why? Why send me here? Moses was 40 years in the wilderness before God took him up and used him to lead his people through that wilderness. He was shepherding sheep in preparation for shepherding the people of God. He was getting to know all about the wilderness in order that when he was taking them through the wilderness, he would know exactly all the details of it. God was training Moses in those years in the wilderness for the service that he was going to accomplish. Paul had his time in Arabia. Why? Well, Paul was being trained and prepared by God for the work that God called him to do. Sometimes God does that with us. Maybe not so obviously as he did it with Moses or Paul or even Elijah, but sometimes God has to take us apart. He has to say, as he said to the disciples, as the Lord said to his disciples, come ye apart and rest a while. And that period of rest may not be in the best of circumstances. It may be in solitude. It may be in a thing like a wilderness. It may be in a desert. It may be in a hospital bed. Or it may be in a bed at home. It may be in circumstances that we would rather not be in. But we can be sure that if God has taken us there, He has a very special purpose for us in that experience. And don't imagine that God always takes us there in the early years of our Christian life. Sometimes it's in later years that He calls us apart to rest a while, and He gives us a period of rest and quietness and solitude in order to train us for something that He still has for us to do. So if God calls you apart for a little while, don't question it. Don't doubt God's purposes, but take it that God has a very special purpose in that very special circumstance in which you are. I know it's very difficult for us to think of that at times when we're laid aside in sickness. We say, well, so much I could be doing for the Lord at this time. I could be doing so much in service. And Elijah may have said that. Or I could be out in Ahab's court, and I could be witnessing to him and telling him about the Lord. But God had a special purpose for Elijah by the brook Cherith. And wherever is the sphere and place and situation where you may be called to come apart and rest a while, you can be sure that God has a very special purpose in bringing you apart. We thought of God's commands and God's purposes. Now let's think thirdly of God's provision. God's provision. Remember at this time when Elijah was by the brook Cherith, there was a terrible drought through all the land. The Lord Jesus enlightens us a little bit more about that. He tells us that there was not only a drought in the land of Israel, but there was a great famine through all the land. There was a drought and a famine. And yet, God provided for Elijah. We'll see tomorrow how He provided for him at Zarephath. But He provided for him by the brook Cherith on the east side of the Jordan. How did He provide? Well, we're told how He provided. He provided water from the brook. Water from the brook. There's nothing very fancy about that. Nothing very difficult for us to understand how the Lord would provide water from the brook. But remember that there was no rain at this time. And usually when there's no rain, the brooks begin to dry up. That's what did happen, as we'll see in a moment. But that was the means God used. I don't know whether it was a special miracle of keeping the brook Cherith open as long as God had for Elijah to stay there. But certainly that was God's provision of water from the brook. You can't live very long in water alone. You can probably live longer than you can live without water alone, but you can't live very long with water alone. And God had made provision for that as well. He said, I commanded the ravens to feed thee. And a remarkable thing happened. Morning and evening, the ravens came and fed Elijah. You'll notice it's in the plural. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. I don't know whether it was the same ravens morning as well as evening, and whether it was the same ravens today as well as tomorrow. We're not told that. But God had made His provision, and He commanded the ravens, and the ravens did exactly what God commanded. They brought to Him the provision that God made. Well, you see, that's a very strange story. If you've never heard it before, you might well have said that. Imagine ravens bringing bread and meat in the morning, and again bread and meat in the evening. Could you possibly believe that? There's one or two questions that you might ask yourselves. Is it true? Is it true? And I guess many people are asking that question as they read the Bible. If they ever do read the Bible, these kind of people, they'd probably ask the question, is it true? Did it really happen? Well, I believe it really did happen. And the reason I believe it really did happen is that God said it happened. God says it in His Word. God says it in His book. And I believe that God said it, and therefore it's true. I believe it. I have no doubt at all that this happened to Elijah. and the provision of the ravens. Well, the second question that arises is it possible? It may be true that God said it, but how is it possible for this to happen? Well, it is possible. I think the answer that covers this supposed impossibility is the answer that covers all supposed impossibilities. I was speaking on Sunday evening in St. Catharines, Ontario. I'm going to be speaking through the month of October on the subject of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah, and I was speaking on his birth on Sunday, and I was speaking on the virgin birth. And I asked the same question about the virgin birth. Is it possible? And I said, well, it's possible because God was behind it. And the answer to the question, is it possible, is the angel's answer to Mary, who said, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man, seeing I'm a virgin? And the angel's answer was simply put, with God nothing shall be impossible. With God nothing shall be impossible. That was true of Elijah's case as well. With God, nothing shall be impossible. God is able to command the ravens, and they'll make the provision. The psalmist said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Actually, Abraham said that too. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God said that to Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? When Satan questioned the possibility of her at her age having a baby, God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And that's true as we consider the story of the ravens. God is able to provide through the ravens. And he still can do that. God is still doing working miracles of this kind. Let me tell you about two things that have happened that I've read about. One was a story that took place in a little village near Warsaw. A German peasant lived there. His name was Dobry. Because of the adverse circumstances of his life, he was behind in paying his rent. And the landlord threatened him with eviction. All pleadings for extension were in vain. The next day, Dobry and his family were going to be turned out into the winter, into the snow of the winter. That night they had the church bells ring for evening prayer. And they decided that they would kneel together as a family in prayer and ask the Lord to meet their needs. They were at the end of their human resources. After their prayer, they sang a hymn that I don't know, but they knew, an old hymn, Commit Thou All Thy Griefs and Ways into His Hand. As they finished singing, they heard a tapping on the window. They didn't know what it was. It's rather strange tapping. And opening the window, they found a raven of all things. It was a raven that Dobry's grandfather had tamed for many years. And you know, there's something unusual about this raven. Well, it was an ordinary raven, but it had a ring in its beak. A ring in its beak. As Dobry looked at that ring and took it from its beak, he realized it was a very valuable ring. It had several precious stones embedded in that ring. It was a beautiful ring. Well, they investigated, and they discovered that that very day, the king had been traveling through the town, and he had lost that very ring. The king had lost the ring. The ring, of course, was returned to the king, and the king rewarded Dobry with a large sum of money, sufficiently large to enable him to build a large house of his own, as well as paying off the rent that he owed. And to commemorate the wonderful events of that wintry night, a plaque was prepared. In that plaque, there was a raven carved with a ring in its beak. And underneath there was a stanza of that hymn that they were singing, Commit Thou All Thy Griefs and Ways into His Hand. Dobry recognized that he too was dependent under God on a raven. God can still use unusual methods to supply the needs of his servants and his people. There's another story that's told. It's also a true story. It's a story about David Brainerd, the well-known missionary to North American Indians of the 18th century. He was on his way one day, one of his many journeys, to visit an Indian tribe when he was overtaken by a very severe storm. He looked for a place of shelter. The only thing he could find, he did find it eventually, was in the hollow log of a very large tree. And there he crept, and there he prayed. He prayed for the Indians that he was going to bring the gospel to. He prayed for himself, that the Lord would take care of him and his needs. And then, when mealtime came, he realized that he was getting hungry. He hadn't had anything for a long time, and he was getting hungry, but he had nothing to eat. But just then, he noticed a squirrel, not a raven, but a squirrel, approaching that tree. It chattered for a while, and then it disappeared. But it didn't disappear without leaving some nuts behind it. And Brainerd took up these nuts, and they supplied his need temporarily. The storm, however, went on for 3 days, and Brainerd couldn't get out of his shelter because of the storm. But remarkably, every day, the same squirrel came back to the edge of the log, and it did the very same thing. It provided a few nuts for David Brainerd to eat to supply his need. The God who could supply Elijah's need by raven visitation can supply our need in various ways beyond our understanding. The God who lived in Elijah's day is still the same today. Let's trust him. Let's serve him faithfully. There's one more thing we want to look at, and that is God's timing. God's timing. Elijah's experience at Cherith came to an end. We don't know how long he was there. We are not told. But God had other purposes for Elijah, and he revealed them in due course. How did Elijah know to leave the brook Cherith? Well, there was one thing. The brook Cherith dried up. We are told that. I don't know whether it dried suddenly, or whether gradually the trickle of the brook became less and less until it was absolutely dry. You know, even God's supply may come to an end in accordance with his purpose and his goodwill. But you know, when plan A is finished, God has plan B ready to take charge. And God had plan B ready for Elijah on that occasion. You see, the drought that affected the nation began to affect Elijah. We live in the same world as the people around us, and sometimes the brook dries up. Our brooks may be different from Elijah's brook. Our brook may be a book, the bank book. Sometimes the bank book dries up. We wonder what's going to happen then. You can be sure that God has some other brook or some other means, some other supply. Our brook may be our bill of health. We discover that our health has broken down as well. And we don't know where we're going to be able to carry on our service because our health seems to have interrupted it. Our brook may be friendships. Sometimes friends are taken away. Our brook may be employment. I suppose that doesn't affect very many of us here, but many of our fellows are affected by that today. Many are out of employment. And they counted that as their lifeline, to provide them with sufficient money to pay for their food and their clothes and all the necessities of life. You know, Elijah wasn't dependent on the brook. Elijah was dependent on the God of the brook. And we should learn that all of these brooks may fail, but we should learn to be dependent on the God of all these brooks. He is the one who can supply our every need. Well, that was the first thing. That wasn't the thing that sent Elijah away from Cherith. He didn't leave because the brook dried up. Why did Elijah leave Cherith to go to Zarephath? Well, let's look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee unto Zarephath. You see, Elijah didn't take his marching orders from the brook. Elijah took his marching orders from the Lord, the God of the brook. And as long as we take our orders from the Lord, then we'll not be dependent on the brook, for the Lord is over all. And if we keep close to Him, sufficiently close to hear His voice in every line, and make each faithful saying His mind, we discover that His word supersedes our common sense. His word is above all our circumstances. His word is more important than human wisdom. The important thing is to remain close to Him, sufficiently close to hear His word. The hymn writer has put it very clearly, take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide, and run not before Him, whatever betide, in joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in His word. Don't depend on the brook, however good the brook may look today. Depend on the one who is the God of all brooks. He will never fail. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word and for the record of men like Elijah, who have been thy men in days gone by. Thou hast placed us here in the world today to be thy men in a world that still defies thee and denies thee. Help us to be faithful to thee. Help us to depend upon thee, to trust in thee daily, and grant that we may be faithful witnesses and servants of thine as thou dost prepare us for the service thou hast for us. We commit ourselves to thee for the rest of this evening. Pray for thy continued blessing upon our fellowship with one another. May thy hand go with us during the night too, and into the morrow, and grant that all that we do may be done for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus. We ask in his peerless name. Amen.